All right, hi everybody. For our first devotion, I want to talk about the kind of grief we should have, the longing we should have as we separate. And to do that, I want you to look at Psalm 63. Go ahead, get your Bibles. I guess I don't have to wait for you. You can always pause it and run and grab one. But Psalm 63 will tell us right up front that it's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, David is practicing what we're going to affectionately call social distancing now. But obviously, he's practicing social distancing for some significantly different reasons than we are. We'll see by the end of the psalm in verses 9 through 11 that David's song of isolation here occurs because there are literal enemies that have chased him out into the wilderness. And this probably means this is a psalm of David as he hid from King Saul. And I know coronavirus is no King Saul, but there is a lesson we can learn about the isolation that David felt as he had to separate himself. So David, who is this warrior, king, shepherd, poet of the Old Testament, expressed his feelings about this separation through this spirit-inspired psalm. And what he finds is that isolation, in his isolation, he experiences God-honoring longing for restoration and worship. Look at verses 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So his separation, and David, of course, is literally in a deserted place with little water or food. He calls it a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. And yet his thirst isn't for water. He thirsts for God. His hunger isn't for food alone. He longs for the Lord. He wants to see, he says, the power and glory of God the way that he's seen it in the sanctuary. Now, if this is written while David is being chased by Saul, then the sanctuary that's mentioned there is the tabernacle where the Lord was worshipped. This place of worship had a manifestation of God's power and glory. And David, who's been isolated from that worship, wanted to see it again. But it does not, just this separation doesn't mean that David is separated from an opportunity to praise God. Look at verses 3 and 4. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I be bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So the praise of God here is not limited to a single place or a single event or a single time frame. Just because you're not going to attend worship service on Sunday doesn't mean that you can't praise God and worship God. Now, there is a tangible loss, right? There is a longing, and we should feel that longing. But not to the extent of dismissing praise altogether. David says here, the loving kindness, the loyalty, or the faithfulness of God is better than life itself. So that even in the wilderness, even in this isolation that he's experiencing, he says three things. He's going to lift up his hands. He's going to sing God's praise. He's going to bless God as long as he's alive. And yes, that is my phone going off. That's just the nature of doing a video, I guess. So this is what I want you to see. This separation, the separation that David experienced, created a longing which expressed itself in personal worship. And this is just so awesome. The very separation and longing that he felt, ultimately it brought him to a place of satisfaction. Look at verse 5. He says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. It could be argued that I always praise God with fatness, but with what David is describing here with this marrow and fatness is he's describing the very richest foods, right? He started off the psalm by saying that he was parched, he was starving, but that hunger and thirst of longing for the sanctuary drove David to praise. And that praise, he says, is like being satisfied with the richest foods. When you let your grief over this separation, sort of, it drives your journey to praise. It's going to be like being hungry and stepping up to your favorite buffet line, right? It's going to be a source of satisfaction for you. So the turn of David's mind was that separation from the sanctuary was no excuse for separation from praise and worship itself. He could praise God in bed. He could contemplate God during his sleepless nights. Look at verse 6 and 7. He says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice." Right? He knows the work of God in his life in the past is the best argument for the continued love of God in the future. Right? God has been his help, and he trusts God will continue to help. He envisions God there like a mother hen putting us helpless chicks under his wings for safety. And by the way, Jesus quotes that later as he weeps over Jerusalem, and he says, "How often I would have gathered you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come." And so when I talk about this grief of separation, I don't want you to have the idea that it's because I want to see the congregation overwhelmed with sadness. It's because of the kind of hopeful experience of this psalm, that our isolation creates in us a longing for worship. It creates in us a willingness to praise and to rejoice, to have a joyful confidence that we are under God's wing, even when we're not in God's house.